Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture is a parable in a long line of parables near the end of the Gospel of Matthew. The nearby parables are Jesus giving surprising examples of people who belong in God's kingdom. And today's goes like this. A landowner goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Every morning, large groups of unemployed men would gather, hoping to be hired out for the day. They were likely pushed off of their own land due to debt to pay the Roman taxes. And so these men needed work. The landowner finds a few men and they contract to work for a day's pay. A denarius, by definition, is enough to provide for one day's food for a family. And so those men go to the vineyard. The landowner goes out again at 9 a.m. and sees more men standing around in need of work to feed their families, and he hires them, saying that he will pay whatever is right. He goes out again at noon and at 3 o'clock, each time finding more people in need of work to feed their families, and each time he hires them. And at 5 o'clock, the text says that the men were standing around idle all day. And here, translation matters. In American English, the word translated as idle connotes a certain amount of laziness or of not even wanting to work, a sort of moral failure. But the Greek is agora argos, meaning standing in the marketplace without work. It's descriptive. And it makes the text be more about the need for employment and the landowner's commitment to provide work, not the laziness of the workers. That's just our own context put on this ancient one. And even at 5 p.m., near the day's end, there are men standing in the marketplace without work, and the landowner hires them. 1 hour later, evening comes, and the landowner calls the manager to pay the workers and instructs him. It says, pay the last first and the first last. The workers who arrived at 5 p.m. receive a whole denarius, enough to feed their family for that day. Even though they only worked 1 hour, they still get the whole day's wages. And that sort of generosity creates a buzz amongst the workers. The workers who arrived earlier, they get excited. Because if those workers who worked 1 hour get a whole denarius, surely they will get more because they've been there all day. But as the manager pays the workers, they notice. They're all getting paid the same. The workers who were there for an hour, barely long enough to work at all, and those who have been there for 12 hours, wet with sweat, hands blistered, they all get just enough to feed their families for a night. And they complain. They complain to the landowner and they say, those last workers worked 1 hour and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. The landowner simply replies, friend, I have done no wrong. You agreed to come with me for a daily wage. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to choose what I do with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous? Aristotle, Nicomachean Ethics, chapter 5, sections 3 through 4. It lays out what Aristotle says is fair. And it is decent math. Everyone should get equal amounts of goods based on their status and their merit. Aristotle lays out what is called the theory of just reward, that you get what you give. If you do a good thing, you get a good thing. If you do a little bit of good, you get back a little bit of good. If you do a little bit of a bad thing, you get a little bit of a bad result. If you work a little bit, you get a little bit of wages. If you work all day, surely you get more. That's fair. That is decent math. That is not at all what Jesus is talking about. This parable overtly challenges the idea of just reward, that we get what we deserve and we deserve what we get. Before Jesus tells this story in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is talking about who belongs in the kingdom of God. First, he names children. Children who legally then and now don't even belong to themselves. He says the whole kingdom belongs to them. And then he names wealthy people who give up their wealth. Then he names people who have suffered for the sake of the gospel. His disciple Peter, who's been there the whole time listening, not quite hearing himself too much, Peter asks, Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Peter wants to hear that he's going to get his just reward. He wants to know that since he has done a whole lot of good, he's going to get a really big reward. And Jesus says to Peter, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones. And everyone who has left their families for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." But it's a little word, but it carries big freight. Jesus says that Peter will get to sit on a throne. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. You will. You will get a throne, but you might be surprised at who else gets one. Jesus then goes on to tell the story of the laborers in the vineyard, the one that winds up with everyone getting what they need to feed their families for that night, regardless of how much they worked or when they showed up. It's not fair. This is not a story about fairness. This is not a story about decent math. But it is grace. It's not a story about what the early rising workers wanted or what we would say they deserved. It's not even about what the late arriving workers needed or what we would say they deserved. It's a story about God's overabundant showing up right when we need it. Grace. God's grace that is never too late and always right on time. God's grace that does not run out even when we don't give it our best, even when we make a big mistake. Peter asks Jesus, "What then will I get, me who gave up everything to follow you?" And Jesus wants Peter to understand, "Peter, you will get what you need. I will take care of you. You will have enough." But these ones too, these ones who came late, these ones who gave less, they'll get what they need too. After all, the kingdom of heaven is not about decent math. The kingdom of heaven is about the renewal of all things. And what is in need of renewal but things that aren't new anymore? Things that are broken and torn, things in need of mending and repair. What is in need of renewal? It's us. It's all of us. We who are a little scuffed up by life's troubles. We who have made compromising decisions when put in compromised situations. we who perhaps are completely broken by the road we've traveled down, we who have been worn thin and we who have lost our way, we who have been waiting all day to know what to do and are still standing at the marketplace hoping to be put to use, but haven't quite got there yet. If the kingdom of heaven is about the renewal of all things, then it has to be about the renewal of all things. It's everyone, even those who don't deserve it, even those who didn't or couldn't earn it, especially those who need it most. We all need grace, not in order to get away from the consequences of something we've done, but to sometimes get more than we deserve. Grace isn't fair. It's not good math. It is not a just reward. But it is the key to the renewal of all things. It's the key to the kingdom itself. It's not about our hard work or our showing up early. It's not about our blistered hands and sunburnt skin. It's about grace itself. Grace that shows up right when you need it, that renews within you what you thought was utterly ruined, that gives you what you need for the night. It gives everyone what they need for the night. Grace that renews all things, even you, even me. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.